Please be seated. So a friend of mine told this story in a sermon almost 10 years ago, and I don't guess I realized how timely a story it was or could be for us until I came across it this week. So here's the story. If the only thing you ever teach your son is how to play the game of football, then you have failed your son. That's just one of the many quotes from Coach Ed Thomas that lined the walls of Parkersburg High School in tiny Parkersburg, Iowa. Ed Thomas was revered in Parkersburg. He had been the football coach at the high school since 1975. He had won 82% of his games, and as well as the state championship twice. He was once named High School Football Coach of the Year by the National Football League. Opportunities to advance in his profession were his for the taking, but Ed Thomas believed he was called to be at Parkersburg. It's where he belonged. In May 2008, an F5 tornado destroyed the city of Parkersburg. Over 200 homes were destroyed, including Ed Thomas's. 8 people died, and the high school was flattened. To the faithful people of Parkersburg, it was no coincidence that all 7 churches in the city were spared. And so that evening, the community gathered in prayer. But it wasn't as you'd expect. All of us know that in the South and a lot of rural America, high school football is king. It's a source of pride and community that simply isn't found in anything else. And Ed Thomas later wrote about the hours following the tornado. "I picked my way through exploded trees, broken glass, and caved in trucks," he wrote. "All that was left of the gym was the floor. The main school building next door was a pile of rubble. The field, I thought, what about the football field? I stepped through the rubble to the rise that overlooked the sacred acre. Debris was strewn everywhere. The bleachers were a tangle of crumpled metal. The goalpost was gone. The scoreboard shattered in pieces on the ground, and the field, once meticulously groomed, was ripped to shreds. Metal shards, wood beams, tree branches impaled the playing surface from goal line to goal line, sideline to sideline." Thomas was devastated, and so he prayed. Not fully sure what he was praying for, which is something I think we can all relate to. But eerily, after the tornado had swept through the town, people began to congregate at the football field, as if drawn by some unseen force. Thomas stood there in shock as he saw a father and a son drop to their knees in prayer. And then many others started doing the same. And then one by one, the people would stand up and they'd begin picking up pieces of debris that were going to clean up that sacred acre. "That's when it struck me," Thomas wrote. "It wasn't just our team that had an all-for-one, one-for-all spirit. It was the whole town. All my years of coaching, I had preached strength and togetherness. And out there on that field, I was seeing that principle in action like never before. I was seeing prayers being answered right before my eyes." Thomas vowed to have the field ready in time for the team's home opener, which was September 5th. Even though it would take more than a year to rebuild the high school. It wasn't that this field was the highest of priorities in the devastated town, but Thomas believed that it was an opportunity for a redeeming of the whole town. And his project became a source of strength for the entire community. Words began to spread about Thomas's project. 4 former players from Parkersburg who now played in the NFL came back to town and they helped raise $200,000. Current Parkersburg players and their parents spent untold hours picking up the debris. Even rival teams came by bus to help. And 2 hours before kickoff on September 5th, the new scoreboard was plugged in. The field was ready to go. with a twisted metal sign that read Falcon Country, the lone memento of what the field had endured. Dave Becker was at the game that night. 33 years earlier, he had played for Coach Thomas, and he had earned all-conference honors on Thomas's very first team. His youngest son, Scott, started as a junior on that 08 team, and his two older sons had played for Thomas as well, with middle son, Mark, being on Thomas's first state championship team in 2001. And just like a good made-for-TV movie, the Falcons won that night, 53-20, and they kept winning until they reached the state semifinals before they fell to the eventual state champions. Dave Becker, along with the rest of the community, finally saw some light shining again on their small town. But Dave Becker was troubled. His middle son, Mark, had been having a difficult time since graduating from high school. He had become withdrawn. There was experimentation with drugs. He hadn't attended college. He was unemployed. Coach Thomas and his wife had tried to help. Both the Thomases and the Beckers had been members of the same church for over 30 years. It was the place of so many prayers following the tornado, and a place where they'd gathered together to pray so fervently for Mark. But returning home one day from work, Dave Becker knew he had to do more. Mark was in a psychotic rage and had literally torn apart the basement of the Becker house with a baseball bat. The sheriff was called. Mark was arrested and finally committed to a mental health facility. It was going to be the first of many. It was after another violent incident in 2009 that Mark was again arrested, hospitalized, and diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. Yet, because of a glitch in the paperwork, Mark was released after 2 days, and the authorities were not informed. Mark returned home. And the next morning, he and his father woke up early, and they talked over coffee, and Dave Becker could tell a difference in his son, Mark. And Mark told him that he was committed this time to get some real help, to stick with his medications, and to turn his life around. And Dave was encouraged. Mark said he had some errands to run. So shortly after 8:30 that morning, though, a 911 call was placed. Coach Ed Thomas had been shot inside the team workout room. Mark Becker had shot him. It wasn't until later that witnesses told police that Mark had shot Ed 4 times in the head and once in the knee, and had repeatedly kicked and cursed him as he lay dead on the floor. Mark Becker was arrested at his parents' home and charged with murder. And this already devastated town was dealt another seemingly insurmountable blow. That Sunday, the First Congregational Church, where the Thomases and the Becker families attended, was filled to overflowing. 5 rows from the back sat the Becker family. And it was then that amazing things started to happen. Brad Zinneker, the head pastor, called on God's mercy for the congregation that had had its guts ripped out. He prayed for the Thomas family, but he also prayed for the Becker family. He prayed for forgiveness during that hour-long service, and in a way that forgiveness had already come. The Thomases and the Beckers had spoken earlier in the week, and the coach's youngest son and his wife urged people to pray and comfort the Becker family, who were going to gain no closure when Ed Thomas's casket was lowered into the ground. Amidst their grief, they expressed concern and compassion for the Beckers and asked that people take time for them as well. The day of the visitation, hundreds of people waited for hours to greet the Thomas family. Yet before that procession began, the Thomases invited the Beckers into the church first for a time of prayer and consolation. Mark Becker would later pay for his crime, but the Becker family had committed no crime. The Thomas family wanted everybody to understand that. Dave Becker later said that the grace, compassion, and mercy the Thomases have shown our family have given us the opportunity to stay in the community we love so much. There is no way we could be here without that. This is not about how Ed died. It's about how we are called to live. And I guess for me, this story in so many ways is the gospel lesson for today. The disciples say, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus recites the prayer known so well to all of us. It's about thanksgiving. It's about forgiveness. It's about sustenance. It's about evil and safety. Things so poignantly prevalent in the story that I just shared. And I guess this is where most sermons across the world are going to end this morning. But I think it's worth noting that there is no amen to Jesus' prayer, serving as a punctuation mark to a completed thought. Instead, Jesus continues. He says, "Be persistent. Be persistent in your asking and get up. Seek, knock, ask, search." And for me, that's the most important part of this entire gospel lesson. The Lord's Prayer is not magic. It's not the sum total of what we should say to God or how we should live into our understanding of God. Instead, it's a roadmap. It's a roadmap for this crazy journey, a model for those interested in knowing their Heavenly Father. It's an example of the freedom we can have with God, the freedom that God Himself bestows. But make no mistake about it, it is also a call. It's a call to engage the world, to seek, to search, to ask, to knock, like our lives depend on it. And it is in that sacred action where we can become the answer to our own prayers. When Chris Lurig, the Parkersburg police chief, heard about the compassion of not only the Thomas family, but that the entire community had for the Beckers, he wasn't surprised. That's how Ed Thomas was. And he recalls a time when Thomas once gave away his team's playbook to a coach newly hired by another school. "He gave away the playbook," Lurig said, as if still astounded by the man who would help an opponent even if it resulted in a defeat for himself. Lurig's eyes reddened as he recalled the magnanimous acts of his former coach, and one could almost picture all of Parkersburg filing onto that sacred acre for a game with nothing less than the future of their own town at stake. And the beloved coach could only guide them in spirit. He passed on his playbook to all of us every day of his life, Lurig said. "And if you don't know that playbook, then you just weren't listening." This is a story of a life well lived. It's a story of Coach Ed Thomas. It's a story of our gospel lesson. It's a story of faith and determination and giving and courage and forgiveness and mercy and compassion and grace and redemption. It's the story of our relationship with God, beyond the words of our prayers and our petitions. Our own playbook of faith, given away freely. It's about how we are to live. And if we don't know that playbook, then maybe we're not listening either. God love you. Amen. Thank you.